It is going to lead us now in our first scripture reading, which comes from Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Luke chapter 19. I'm going to read the Palm Sunday account from verse 28. Luke chapter 19 from verse 28 through to 44.
The reading from Luke chapter 19 from verse 28 to 44. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found just as he had told them, and as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of the Lord's coming to you."
Turn to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, 'His love endures forever.' Let the house of Aaron say, 'His love endures forever.' Let those who fear the Lord say, 'His love endures forever.' When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I cut them down. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord I cut them down. They swarmed around me like bees, but they were consumed as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord I cut them down. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of the righteous. The gates of the righteous, I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. the Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. This is the word of the Lord. Congregation, Psalm 118 is a very fitting scripture for us to reflect upon this morning for at least two reasons. The first reason is obvious, and I think you might know it already. It's Palm Sunday, and Ed read for us before from Luke's Gospel. What did he read? Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. That's a quote from the words of this very psalm. But it's also a fitting scripture for us this morning because, in a sense, it's a conclusion to our series in Exodus, the Exodus story, and our series in Exodus, although that's not quite so obvious. But the song that God's people sang on the shores of the Red Sea is quoted in this psalm in verse 14. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. In fact, the whole of the psalm is telling us the story of God's salvation. A salvation story that would be repeated many, many times in the future of Israel. A salvation story that reaches its climax in Jesus. You still have your Bibles open. The early sections of the psalm, we're just going to summarize this morning. One person is in crisis in the psalm. But the one person represents all the people. The one person is the Lord's anointed, the King. And he's telling us God's salvation story in the first person as if it was just him. But really he's telling us the story as the representative of the nation. God's people were in distress. God's people were oppressed. They cried out to the Lord for help and deliverance. They didn't trust in the nations around them. They didn't take refuge in princes. They took refuge in the Lord. And it nearly ended in disaster. So it seemed. Think Israel on the shores of the Red Sea with the chariots of Egypt charging towards them at top speed. I was pushed back, the psalmist says, and about to fall. But the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. And so from the jaws of death came victory. From the brink of defeat came salvation. The Lord's mighty hand did mighty things. And so in the psalm, I will not die but live and will proclaim what the Lord has done. And what better way to celebrate than to reenact the story? So picture in your mind what would have been happening here in this psalm. The King is leading a procession of joyful worshippers. They're outside Jerusalem, heading up towards the city, heading towards the temple. They enter the city and they head for the temple naturally. Why? To worship. To give thanks to the Lord, to give thanks to the Lord for his love which endures forever. Let's go to the temple. Let's rejoice with the King. Open the gate. Open the gate. You see, to celebrate in God's temple, the place of worship, first, you've got to get in. Perhaps you're familiar with the words of Psalm 84. Let me read you a verse from that psalm. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. And you think, isn't that nice that God appointed some people to open the doors when people came to the temple? I mean, you've been to a flash department store and there's that person outside and they open the door. And I don't know, maybe they wave their hand these days for the automatic sensor, but someone opens the door. Isn't that nice that God would appoint some people to such a lowly, menial task? Someone opens the door and here we come in. Maybe the doors were heavy. Maybe it was Maybe it was a great thing for the guests to have someone to open them. But I don't think that's the picture in Psalm 84. I think we might better picture the doorkeepers a little bit like bouncers. Now, I've just got back last night from a week in Melbourne, and you picture, you know, the Qantas lounge, the chairman's lounge, and there's the person at the door just looking on, you know, checking you out, keeping the riffraff out, so that only the high and the mighty can come in. You see, there are standards, you know. You need an admission pass. The doors don't work just like when you go to Coles and Woolies and you walk up and the doors just open like that, because they want you to come in and take your money. Now, these doors aren't like that. You need a swipe card. You need a key. You need access. And so the king at the head of this procession, what does he command? He says, "Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter." Verses 19 and 20. We gather together this morning as God's people to worship and to celebrate. And how do we get through the gates of the righteous? Can you get through the gates of the righteous on your own? Will they open for you as you approach? Well, they will open for you as you approach automatically if you're perfect. The doorkeepers, the gatekeepers, they open the doors wide for perfect people. God is perfect, and so only perfect people may dwell and will be at home in his presence. So if you're here this morning and you're perfect, then you can just switch off for a few minutes, and I'll tell you when you can turn your ears back on again. You can just a little bit of a pause. You've already got access. You don't need to listen to what I'm about to say. But the rest of us, we need to listen. Because we need another way to get in, because the bouncers, what do? They take one look at us and they think, "Really? You think I'm going to let you in?" We need a righteous person to open the gates for us. You know those automatic boom gates at the car park exit? You've seen them at Grand Central more commonly. I saw them just at the airport with AirPark, and the gate comes up and you go. You know, you drive up, you pause for number plate recognition or to scan your ticket, and then the door opens and through you go. And if your number plate doesn't scan and you don't have a ticket, then they'll remain stubbornly closed forever. But what if someone with a valid number plate or a ticket is ahead of you in the line? The gates are going to open, aren't they? And if you follow them bumper to bumper at top speed and you don't leave any gap whatsoever, you can just go zooming straight in behind on their heels. At least that's what I imagine you can do. If it works, I don't know. But at AirPark, at the airport, I tell you what, you scan your ticket and the first gate opens, then you drive through and it closes behind you, and then the next one opens. So I assume it's possible. I've never tried it. It's one way to get through automatic gates. If you haven't got a ticket, if your number plate won't get recognized, you just wait for somebody whose number plate will get recognized and zoom on straight through behind them. Like I said, perfect people don't need this tip. But the rest of us do, because we can't get through the gates on our own, because we're not righteous. But friends, this morning, the King goes ahead of you. King Jesus rides towards Jerusalem and opens the gates. He rides towards the temple and the gates open. Why? Perfect and pure he is. And so we follow behind Jesus. We follow hot on his heels. That's how we get in. Not because of us, not because we're righteous, but because we follow the righteous King. Because Jesus opens wide the gates of heaven, we can follow Jesus all the way into the presence of God. Because he has arrived. The King has arrived. Open the gate. And once we're inside the gate, we can rejoice in the rejected rock. We're inside the temple now, and there's rejoicing going on. And what's the reason for rejoicing? Seems mighty strange at first. They're rejoicing because they found a rock. And not just any rock. This is a special rock. This is a rock that skilled craftsmen saw and rejected it as a rubbish rock. Sounds pretty weird when you put it like that. We're not into rocks in the same way today, apart from wedding rocks that we put on a finger, diamond rocks. The reason we're not into rocks very much is because building materials have moved on from then. Our building materials are different. They're probably superior in many ways. And more importantly, we don't think of a stone quite very naturally as a symbol of salvation. That's what stones were. Zechariah 3 speaks to us of a coming stone. He says, I'm going to bring my servant the branch. See the stone I have set in front of Joshua. What will happen through the work of the stone? I will remove the sin of this land in a single day. Or there's the rock that's uncut by human hands in Daniel that grows and grows and destroys the human kingdoms and their power. It becomes a huge mountain and it fills the whole earth. Salvation is at hand through the stone, through this rock. But from the most unlikeliest of sources. You see, the saving stone is going to be a surprise. It's the stone the builders rejected. It's not going to seem like it would amount to very much. It's overlooked. There were much, much more likely stones that would be selected to serve as the foundation for God's kingdom cornerstone. This particular stone that the psalmist has in mind is like a stone that went before the quality assurance inspectors and it got a D or an E. It's like rejected. Not fit for export, not used for anything other than just throwing into the foundation pit to form part of the foundations. Nothing good's going to come of this stone. But in fact, the secret stone, the saving stone, was a secret surprise. Outwardly unimpressive, it was a stone the builders rejected. It wasn't what they were looking for. It didn't match their expectations. But it was, in fact, everything that they needed and all that God intended. The saving stone, God's secret surprise, was embraced by the crowds as Jesus approached Jerusalem on that famous day. The crowds embraced Jesus and what God was doing in his life. But the builders, the religious pointy hats, they turned up their noses at Jesus. They denounced him, they arrested him, they tried him, they condemned him, they hung him up on a cross to die. And his death only proved the point, did it not? This was not the one to save. This was not God's saving stone. He was despised and rejected and defeated and dead and buried. And then something remarkable happened. Another stone, just as it happens, another stone was rolled away. And Christ emerged from the tomb, risen and triumphant, the cornerstone, the very foundation of God's plan, God's eternal plan, worked out in human history to undo the fall of Adam and Eve. The death of Jesus and his resurrection on the third day is like God pressing Control-Alt-Delete on his computer. He rebooted things. Starting again. We gather together this morning as worshippers of the rejected rock. And we embrace him not because we knew better at the time, but because we've seen what the Lord has done. The day of salvation and the secret saving stone that did it is marvelous in our eyes. And so we rejoice. We rejoice this morning in the once rejected rock and we are glad. The gates are open, we go in and we rejoice in the rejected rock. And now there's only one thing left to do, and it's this. We're to join the feast. The psalmist says, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God. He has made his light shine on us with boughs in hand." It's branches, with boughs, with cut branches in hand. Join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. Blessed is Jesus. And we are blessed by him. He's made his light shine upon us. And we've seen his truth. And we've seen his beauty. We've seen his grace. And so now we take up palm branches in victory. We raise our hands to bless the Lord, to worship his holy name. And friends, we join in that feast today in a different way. We join in that feast this morning as we celebrate the Lord's Supper together. A feast of bread and wine, celebrating God's saving stone, the rejected stone by the builders, who has opened the gates of righteousness to us. We remember his rejection. We remember his death. We remember his body broken for us. We remember his blood poured out for us, the righteous for the unrighteous, that we might be saved. And so we come to the supper this morning, and we come with gladness in our hearts, don't we? We come giving thanks to the Lord. He has answered us. The Lord has become our salvation. It is marvelous in our eyes. Let us rejoice today and be glad. We bless him. What an attitude with which to come to the Lord's Supper this morning. You see, we are not here this morning to repeat a religious ritual. We are not here to do a diligent but dull duty. No, we're excited. This is it. This is the day. God loved us with such a deep love that he gave us his one and only Son for us. Hallelujah! The Lord saves. Hallelujah. It's magnificent. It's glorious. And it's ours. Come in faith to the feast. Come gladly, come eagerly, come rejoicing in all that God has done for you, all that God is doing in you, and all that God will one day accomplish in your life to come. Let's respond together this morning. I'd like to invite you to join me in the words of verse 28 up here on the screen. Let's join together. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. And so as we come to celebrate the Lord's Supper together this Palm Sunday, come, brothers and sisters, come with hearts full of rejoicing, because the gates have been opened by the righteous rock. The secret saving stone has surprisingly saved us. Now join the party, join the feast, praise and exalt God with me. Give thanks to the Lord. Please join me. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that we can remember that Jesus has arrived. That he has arrived and accomplished everything that you planned. And we thank you that we can draw near to you this morning, not in a righteousness of our own, but following hot on the heels of Jesus. You look at Jesus with the procession of worshippers coming after him, and you see only Jesus. And so the gates are wide open to all who follow Jesus. We rejoice in that this morning. Help us to come with gladness in our hearts as we remember your salvation to us through Jesus. Hear us, Lord, we pray. Fill our hearts with joy in and through Jesus' name. Amen.